When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
I know it's been a little bit, Stephen. Listeners have been asking, yo, this might be the first, did we do a regular season pod? I think we did a preview of like week one and then nobody heard from us like ever again after that shit. Because Stephen will get into the mix, but we had some professional moves and we've had some developmental moves with the content as well, the podcast that we'll talk about in just a second. Welcome guys back, hopefully permanently now, to the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am your host as always, especially from now on, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me.
The hell's that supposed to mean?
Shut up. All social media platforms at the Philly Pod, do the same. For my faithful co-host, no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, Stephen Conrad Jr. is always the right-hand man. Jay Uso,
man, I thought you were Conrad Jr. Wow. really? The guy that has Uso, never won a main event. But anyway.
Hey, he just won the Intercontinental draw and he just won the title. Got a mid-card. That counts for something. But yeah, right-hand man. Steven's always here. We are back from New Orleans. We went to New Orleans last week. A lot has happened. Eagles are obviously 2-2. We went to New Orleans, came back. And in addition to that, we have added a third voice to the show. Steven and I have kind of been on the search for a third voice for a little bit now. We have obviously had guests, reporters, personalities, things like that. But I always believed that the best fit was within the Liberty Line. Always on my hip, but never on the show. He had his own show. I don't know if you ever listened to it, but if you did, you'll know his voice because he has a one-of-a-kind voice. Truthfully, to all jokes aside, one of the smartest people I know don't laugh at it. This is the one guess up you're getting all episodes, all for the rest of your pod career. This is it. But truthfully, one of the smartest guys
Are you talking about the candidate we just turned down last night?
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
Oh, whoa. No. That'd be news to me.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't say it, no. He has been with the website since we launched it all the way back in 2020. Well-versed at all facets. We've known each other for a long time now. And now a very proud co-host of the Philly Pod. And I believe three voices is always best for a podcast. We've done this show for a long time with two. And it's been great. And we've grown it a lot. But now we got the third wheel. Just kidding, not the third wheel.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, I wish I had the drum roll button for my roadcaster, ride it and program it right. But
well, it's no
hands.
Longer the era of the big two. You need a big three.
It's big three. Right? No, big. No, that's incorrect. The big three era is over in NBA. Now it's
oh
duos.
Yeah, what did the Sixers just do?
Well, that's because Daryl Morey is the only one left that believes in big threes. He's like, by all means, forget role players. We're going to do that. But join me in welcoming Mr. Ryan Conway. Clap, clap. Can you hear the claps?
Yeah, I'll give myself a little round of applause.
Give yourself a little applause.
Now I see why you guys want me to do the intro for the show. But
that was shaky. What? That was a good intro. That was one of the better ones.
It was pretty good. I'm fucking around. But yeah, you guys just made the biggest mistake of your life.
Get them off the show.
Remotely a platform. If you thought people didn't like you now, that we might run into some issues. I'm looking forward to being a part of the podcast. We talked about it like a year ago and then just I never followed up on it.
No, I don't think we've ever followed up on it as a unit. It was always an idea, and we were like, yeah, maybe, and then here we are.
Yeah, we had a couple drinks
take
one
some
night.
Accountability we like, now, guys. Okay.
Dude, we gotta step up.
Unlike a certain cornerback on this team, veteran cornerback.
About 90% of the goddamn roster. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, like we could have lost Conway to another market or something at this point.
I know. Can you imagine someone else picking up another pod? I remember when I first met him. This isn't a glaze like Conway episode, but I remember when I first met him and I was like, man, you're lucky you're doing a podcast because if not, I would scoop you up for this show. And now he's here. So very happy to have Conway a part of the show. I think myself, Steven, and Conway will be unique perspectives, unique conversations, and I think it's going to be beneficial to the show moving forward. If you're new to the show, you came at a good time. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Please leave those reviews. Rate 5 stars. If we get none of them, we are kicking Conway off tomorrow, and that'll be the end of that.
So fair enough.
Give us a 5-star review. Rate 5 stars. They do help with the exposure of the show, help us get in front of eyes and ears of Eagles fans. It also helps to be consistent. We're aware of that, so don't look at us. But we plan to be moving forward. Before we get into everything that is Eagles slash depressing slash Sirianni slash Hurts slash Slay slash Quinyon, bright spot. Conway, I'll give you a few minutes here, I guess, to kind of give people like your background, what it is you do, how you got into sports, the couple of pods. If you have none of that to say and you don't really, the people shouldn't care about who you are.
I'll break it down.
You went to school,
dude.
Right? I'm pretty sure you went to college, I think.
Yeah. I went to college.
Nice. I got a 2-year degree. So.
I got my undergraduate. I hold a master's degree in journalism University.
Smart.
Fucking that. I mean, that was really just an excuse to drink for another year. Yeah. Two highlights at a time at Maxi's, $2 a piece. I mean, damn. That was probably my greatest journalistic achievement was that. But beyond that, yeah, I had always wanted to do sports, but I was trying to always find a reason not to. And then pandemic happened, and I was like, fuck it, dude. Might as well just get in the mix and see what happens. Ended up sending the Liberty Line way too formal of an application.
Yeah, way too professional. Podcast. We didn't need all that.
The Wolves of Broad Street. You
so
guys
so glad I didn't have to do that.
You guys took one look at it, said no, which probably looking back on it would have been the right move.
You promised us a 4-man team, and we got like 1.5.
Hey, I don't know what happened with that. It wasn't we just came from it out of we didn't realize how new the website was.
Yeah, well, we got hey, one of them stuck. One of them stuck, and look where we are now.
The worst possible person you could have ever asked for, but
I never met the other two, so
they're good guys. They're good guys.
Yeah. So that's how this man got into the world of sports, joined the Liberty Line with us when we launched in 2020, and now we're all here. Conway is the food connoisseur of the website. Anything cheesesteak related, anybody that claims to have a Philly cheesesteak in another state, Conway's on top of that, writing that. So,
absolutely. I'm the sandwich commentator, and I am the arbiter of truth and justice. I am the arbiter of truth and justice in the culinary realm. So please, my word is final on those matters. When it comes to sports, we can debate. When it comes to food, if you question me for a moment, if someone tells me that crawfish are in season, I'm going to snap, because that was a whole debate down in New Orleans.
One thing I learned about you when we were in New Orleans is that you'll spend a good dime on good food. Don't care the cost, the price. He will pay that bill. He does not care what it is.
I'm wearing the same clothes I had in college, but if I'm getting good food, I'm getting good food.
He does not care what that price is on that good food. But that's one of the finer things in life is food. So, of course, and plenty of it in New Orleans. A grand time in New Orleans. Shout out fans of Philly, as always. Every year they send us on these trips. We were able to go to New Orleans. Fun game. Superdome was crazy. I was amazed by the Superdome, and I was actually impressed by the Saints fans and how loud they get. Obviously, it's an enclosed space, so it's a little amplified, but it was amazing down there for the experience. Great food, catfish that could last you a lifetime down there. Oysters, boudin balls.
Those boudin balls were sick. And the Superdome was great. It's my second time there. First time for an Eagles game.
Oh wow!
Really?
That's right.
Yeah, I was down there.
Spent
a few 5 years
days
ago.
With you down there and didn't know that.
Yeah, dude, I was talking about seeing my.
Well, we spent 4 days. Let's be honest, it was 4. Yeah,
one day too many, to be honest.
One day I wasn't even with you guys until like the last 15 minutes, but that's completely irrelevant. The fact that I'm even able to speak right now is
you had no voice by the time we got out of there. But fans Philly always does it big. If you're listening to this and you plan on going to away games this year, next year, whenever, fans of Philly. Go to their website, book through them. They make everything easy. Flights, itineraries, events, tailgates, they do it all. So be sure to go to the website, check that out if you plan on going to some more away games this year. So, guys, I guess at some point we have to talk about this football team. That is the
We
don't really have to. We can talk about Sixers media day if you want to.
Oh, my God. You know what? I want to bring this up now. I want to get this out of the way.
Get it out the way.
That game was tough. That was a tough watch.
Oh, man.
We're down 14-0 in like the first 10 minutes. Yep. Lead for the Bucks balloons from there. You tweeting that you're a Sixers fan
oh, yeah.
at the end of the day. is quite frankly disgusting behavior. I'm very disappointed in you for that. Oh, I understand, man. I understand that that's your brand. I understand that that's what you do. You know, you got to get the clicks.
That's not my brand. I'm literally an overreactionary emotional.
Have you tweeted about bleach at all this year?
I did. I do every single game because every single game has induced the drinking bleach this year so far. Dude, hey, when we're down 21-0 and the Eagles have run 6 total plays in that span, yeah, I'm drinking bleach. And I'm also only thinking about Sixers basketball because that is the only source of happiness that we have at that time.
That's hardly even. So, you know what? That's irrelevant. Looking at the game, as horrible as it was, I want to ask you what went wrong, but I feel like we're going to be here for like 9 hours if I ask you that. But
you know what's funny about that? Steve and I were on the phone earlier, just kind of going over. I don't know. We always end up, I guess, talking about football, even though the phone call is not originally about that. And I think we landed on the topic of we're gonna lead, I guess, with the elephant in the room, the hot seat, if you will, with Nick Sirianni, because Steven and I have been pretty pro Sirianni to this point. Even the way last year ended, we were like, well, look at his record and look at the stuff he does for the team, and the players are defending him, so they clearly have a response to him and they have a desire to play for him. But the performance I saw yesterday in that game showed me that there was lack of fundamentals, showed me, especially with the tackling, showed me that there was no discipline, showed me that there was lack of preparation. These are all things that a coach, especially with less duty these days, a CEO coach, is supposed to have in order. You're supposed to have your team ready to play. And they just don't look like they are totally inspired by Nick Sirianni right now. Now, I get the weather, you know, heat index 105, whatever it was. But, man, the body language and the performance and the Avante Maddox, like, forget tackling the guy. He didn't even make contact on Godwin when he, like, lunged and just didn't even touch the guy. These are fundamentals that the Eagles have been lacking dating back to last season. So, and Steven can speak to more of this in a second. I think that the common denominator, and I tweeted this yesterday and got a lot of pushback on it, I think the common denominator between the collapse of last season and the way this year has started is Nick Sirianni. Now, the Hurts turnovers have to stop, obviously, and there's other factors that go into it. You know, you can't go in there and catch balls for Dallas Goedert. You can't go in there and make tackles for your players. But I think that Nick Sirianni is the root of all this. And I think until players are truly inspired by their head coach, it's going to be more of the same moving forward. Steven, I'll give you the floor as far as that's concerned.
Well, like you, I've been a Sirianni, I guess, defender. The first thing that has always stood out with him was his record, you know, and obviously that's since dwindled. I mean, they were at one point 10-1 last year, and I guess what is it, in the last like 14 games? What are they? 3-11 in the last 14? There's no 11
in the last 14.
That can't be right.
That's right. That's very correct.
Oh my God.
I agree with you on all the fundamental issues that are hurting this team. I know nobody wants to hear this, but I actually think some of it's personnel based, but we'll touch on that later when we touch on the defense, actually. But you know, when it comes to Sirianni heading into this season, obviously retained his job, but a different role. He's the CEO head coach, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's been wondering all season, what's his role? Some people are going as far to say his only role on game day is to go for it on fourth down. He's the decision maker there. I don't know what the hell his role is. I don't know what goes on in that organization, but I'll tell you this. He's listed as the head coach. I don't care. He was originally hired as like an offensive guy. We've always known that. I mean, he called plays when he first got here. But I'll tell you this.
For half
as
a
the
season,
head coach, I'll tell you what's unacceptable.
The offense wasn't producing half a season until Shane Steichen took over.
I'll tell you what's unacceptable. I don't know if it was I guess it would have been, what, Tuesday when they started preparing for this game, for this team on the road. Regardless, I don't know how, as a head coach, you can sit there and watch this defense time and time again. It happened last year, too. I get Vic Fangio's here. It's his scheme now, the originator, the OG Fangio scheme guy is here. I don't know how you can sit back as the head coach of this team. I don't care if you have no defensive, like, IQ in your body as a head coach. How do you sit back and just allow this to happen? You got to get in his ear. I guess he's all the way up in the press box. Do me a favor. Go the fuck up in that press box and get in his ear and tell him to change something. You don't have to have a plan laid out for him, but say, Fangio, I'm the head coach of this team. This has to stop. We cannot fall behind this quickly. This is what happened in this game. Yeah, the offense came out and sucked. They stalled. For a lot of reasons, they somewhat had a pass. We knew the offense was going to struggle in this game, but for the defense, after completely shutting down the red hot New Orleans Saints offense, like to put this goose egg up is unacceptable, especially they scored. Yeah, they fell behind, I guess. Yeah, you're right. 21-0, whatever it might have been. Mm-hmm. Not even the end of the first quarter yet. That just can't happen. And as the head coach, like, you just have to do these things. You know what I mean? I don't think it's like stepping over boundaries. I don't think it's any of that. Like, am I wrong for thinking that?
No, I don't think so. I think that I think Sirianni mentioned this today in his presser that if he doesn't like something defensively, he'll speak up and say that. Now, I can't picture him going up to, you know, big Grizzly Vic Fangio and being like, "Hey, buddy, shit's not working. Why don't you?
Well, you know, there's a way to do it.
Why don't you buckle up?
There's a way to do it, obviously.
But he says he does that, though. He says he does that. It wasn't evident yesterday. He said he didn't make the right decisions yesterday. But my thing with Nick Sirianni is, if you are a CEO coach, your sole job is decision making, and you have been subpar at it so far, 4 weeks into the season, and that is an issue for me to this point. Conway, I guess you're temperature reading so far, Nick Sirianni, not even more so from yesterday, but I guess from the entire season. Yesterday seemed like it just, I mean, the whole 4 weeks of this year feels eerily similar to last season, but yesterday was not a great showing for the entire team, starting with Sirianni.
Look, Sirianni's a guy that I've wanted to like so badly since we hired him, because he got shit on for the press conference, that whole flower analogy. Right. I initially wrote a blog completely tearing him apart, and then we went on a run and completely changed pretty much everything from there. And then obviously the red hot record. But looking at it now, people are asking, like you said, like, what does he do exactly? I feel like every time he speaks up in a press conference and goes, "No, actually, that was my decision," it's always the wrong one, or at least it always goes poorly.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we need, you know, he's there as a culture guy. I don't really see an amazing team culture flourishing. I think we do have some great individual people on this team, not just talent. I think we have some great dudes on this team. I just think that it's not all there right now. The buy-in's not completely there. I don't know if it's because people aren't bought into Sirianni. I don't know if there's a Jalen Hurts situation there. I'm not saying there is. I don't want to speculate on that, but literally anything's possible.
Look at your face. No, yeah, you do.
Look, Jalen Hurts is my quarterback. I hate having to go get another quarterback. So I'd much rather Jalen
I'd rather
Hurts
not
just
be in that
be
position. Please, God.
Yeah. But meanwhile, he's standing there. I go, I can't wait for Jalen Hurts to fumble on this drive. What does he do? He fumbles on the it's every time. It's all the time.
It's been bad.
It's
this
very
year.
Frustrating. Of course, there are other top quarterbacks in the league that do turn the ball over that much. But they tend to
Fumbles aside, Mahomes and Hurts have like identical stats right now. Fumbles aside.
They do.
Like
they do.
Interceptions, touchdowns, passer rating, like they almost have around the league, quarterbacks are struggling unless you're Jaden Daniels, but that's another topic.
That's a complete, I mean, that's because he's a Heisman winner from my Louisiana LSU State University. But yeah, dude, looking at Sirianni, I'm disappointed to say the least. I thought this year, I mean, obviously we've been high on the Eagles the last few years now. I expected us to come in. I didn't expect us to go blazing out the gate, start like 9-0 like we did the year before. It was, you know, 2 years going 10-1 to start the season. I didn't expect that, especially once we had our top two receivers go down, two offensive linemen, just dudes left and right dropping like flies. So I do think that that plays more of a role in that loss in general. Just you take a look at Tampa, like, I think that's a better football team than a lot of people are giving them credit for as well. So it's difficult to just go, we lost this game because of Nick Sirianni. But when you look at the undisciplined plays, we hit our own punt returner twice. I understand.
Cooper DeJean got rocked out there. My God.
Dude, Cooper
DeJean more tackles on DeJean than Bucks players. Like,
dude, that was insane. That Maddox hit, or lack thereof, you know, the complete whiff. Those two, like,
no contact was made. I'm telling you.
Stupid plays. Stupid plays across the board, like just mind-numbingly stupid. There's a point where, yeah, he's not the special teams coordinator. He's not the defensive coordinator. He can't go out and tackle for these guys. But we just need our guys to have a little bit more. They just need to have their head on straight, and I just don't think they do. I just don't think they know. Like Isaiah Rogers said, he didn't even know that was a rule. Yeah, he's like, I thought I could just push him into the guy. Like, are you fucking stupid? Like,
I don't think Isaiah Rodgers planned to play a lot of special teams this year, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, that's a completely different story. And we can get into personnel on the defensive side of the ball and how grossly misused some people are and how just bad some others are. But as when it comes to Nick Sirianni, this is I'm starting to kind of wake up and pay a little bit more attention to his what exactly he does, and I'm trying to evaluate. It's just hard with all of the injuries at the moment. I'm just glad we don't have any numbers on the visor, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, man.
Let's just keep pushing, use the bye week to get healthy. And then I don't think a midseason firing is in order unless we literally don't win.
Larry doesn't
game.
Do that. Larry but, just, like, notoriously doesn't fire coaches midseason. He'll ride it out.
He fired Chip Kelly with like a game
left. That was like a game left. And that's when DeMarco ran for a 50-yard touchdown in the last game of the season. Yeah. Straight up the gut, as he should have.
I'll never forget. I would never say that Nick Sirianni's on the level of Chip Kelly in terms of that.
Not as of right now.
Yeah,
but
not encouraging by any stretch. You want a new coordinators? We went and got him. We still fucking blow. So what's going on?
Yeah, I'm with you as far as like I'm starting to like the Sirianni experience is starting to wear just a little bit thin. Steven, you want to weigh into that? You look like you got something on your mind.
No, I mean, I think we hit on everything when it comes to him. I mean, this whole season was always going to be, at the very least, set aside the team expectations. I mean, it was always going to be a total evaluation on Nick Sirianni at the end. Like, if there was ever, like, if you could put a contract year on a coach, it'd be this one. Like, this is your prove it year, man. Like, this is it. Like, I don't know what the team needs to do, you know, in order for him to keep his job. You know, 2-2 right now, it kind of feels like this team could either be 0-4 or who knows. Honestly, when you look at it a certain way, you could probably say they'd be 4-0. So it's hard to say. And they had so many injuries on offense. You know, I didn't feel great about this game anyway heading into it, but I didn't expect them to get embarrassed, and they just got stepped on really quickly. And I think if you guys want to transition a little bit, I mean, I'm sure we can dissect a lot of things about this team that need to improve, but to me, the glaring thing, most notably the last two games, is, and you can even look at the season opener, they just start off too slow. And I think it kind of ties in to what Jalen said at his press conference. Everybody got pissed off about it. I don't really see the issue. What he was saying is true. Like, they're still finding their identity, and that's what they look like in the first half of all these games on both sides of the ball. And then, you know, they're playing from behind and they start to look like how they should. I mean, they started the second half. I think the first play from scrimmage for the Eagles was that Saquon carry for what, like 59 yards, whatever it was. Obviously, you wish you could start the game off with the 59-yard carry. But I think with the offense, I mean, the first play, like Jalen scrambling around, I don't know what the setup there was on that first play, but he's out of the pocket. Saquon's open down the sideline. It could have been a big play, but it just feels like they're trying to do that too much. I don't know if they're trying to hit the home run ball too quickly. I mean, you don't have Devontae, you don't have AJ, you're down two starters, I guess, on the offensive line. What are we doing all this down the field stuff for? Like, I feel like I said this last year too. I don't understand. There's no way. Like, look, I get it. When you look at the reaction from Commanders fans when they traded us Dotson, they seem pretty hyped about it, but I refuse to believe he's that bad. He may not be as good as what we thought he was coming out of college, but we brought him here to be wide receiver 3. There is no way he is that bad. Like, you just have to find ways to get him the ball. He's your number one receiver in this game. You're lining up. Hey, you can't wait till the fourth quarter to get him the ball. I mean, Goddard dropped an unfortunate pass early on. Really would have set him up pretty well. So that's a tough one. Like, that's a play he normally makes, I'd like to think. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand what the mindset is. Like, every team, it seems like when we play other teams, their key guys are getting the ball right away. They're part of the game plan regardless. You're trying to stop their best players. Guess what? Their best players are still getting the ball. Like, and I don't get why the Eagles don't do that.
It's this 15 play like script they start off with all the time. Like, they need to throw out the script and do it. Like, this obviously should have been a Saquon Barkley game where you give him 20 to 25 carries. We've had this argument how many times on this pod about carries. This was the game to give him that many carries. He had two carries on the first six drives. They asked Sirianni about it, like what went into the game plan. Why did Sirianni or why did Saquon only carry the ball twice within the first three drives? Sirianni said, well, we had nine plays. Three of them were third and long, so they're obviously not running downs. So in reality,
you can't get to the third and long, though.
In reality, we had two carries. He had two carries on six plays. He was like, that's the way football works. We weren't sustaining drives. But you sustain drives by giving the ball to your best player in the offense, which for that day was Saquon Barkley. So talking yourself in circles just makes you look incompetent as far as game planning is concerned, which is another issue that Sirianni seems to have. Like, we can go back to last week with the fake fake tush push they tried on fourth down, and Sirianni spoke up and said, oh, that was my play call. Why are you stepping on Kellen's toes? Let him run the offense. You want him to run the offense, let him do it, instead of trying to get cute and do all this other stuff. The Eagles so far this season, they have been outscored 186-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They have not scored a single point in the first quarter so far this season.
I'll take a field goal. Like, honestly, we're starting off so slow. If you get stopped, 40, 50 yards out, just send Jake out there, please. Just get
points on the board. They did that last weekend. Jake couldn't. I still think Jake might be hurt, but that's another conversation.
Whatever, man.
If you want to know stats in the first quarter, this is how the Eagles rank in every category.
Everything.
It's not an excuse. I think he's hurt personally.
It's just convenient because then Nick
I think he's secretly hurt.
Secretly hurt. I think there's something going on.
Secret.
They like went for weird fourth downs last week, and then he like shanked a kick. Normally, it's strange. But and as far as stats are concerned, the Eagles in the first quarter so far this season, they averaged 44 yards per game in the first quarter. That's 29th in the league. They add 4.2 yards per play in the first quarter. That's 25th in the league. 3.1 yards per carry, 27th in the league. They add 14 rushing yards in the first quarter.
Wow.
All season long. That is 31st in the league. You have Saquon Barkley. Why are you not giving him the ball early?
And Jalen Hurts, by the way.
Like, and Jalen Hurts.
Good for,
They're averaging 30 passing yards in the first quarter this season. That's 27th in the league. They're averaging 11.1% third down conversion in the first quarter. That is dead last. 0% in the red zone. They haven't even had an attempt in the red zone in the first quarter this year. This is dreadfully horrible offense that they are putting out there in the first quarter. I don't know if it's because, like, I couldn't even begin to pinpoint why it is so difficult. I understand it's new coordinators and you're implementing new stuff, and we all anticipated growing pains, but this offense is too good. Yesterday aside, no AJ, no Devontae. You only had AJ for week one, and obviously they put up a lot of offense in that game. But you have too many good players on offense to not be able to put up yards and points in the first quarter. And if you continuously put yourself in a big hole, and then like that gets away from your game plan. Now you're down 21-0. There goes the Saquon Barkley game. You can't run the ball now because now you got to score fast. You're in a 21-point hole. So that's when they started panicking, throwing the ball, and that's why you go three and out three times in the row, and that's why you're down 21-0 20 minutes into the game. There has to be different game plans. You have to use Saquon when he's there, especially in a game with that kind of heat. Wear out the defense. Get that defense tired. Wear them down. The Bucs got the game plan. The Bucs got the memo. Sirianni and the Eagles obviously didn't, and that was a big issue yesterday.
Yeah, the way the Bucs opened up that game with the quick passing game and then obviously working in the runs, long drives, getting everybody in the mix. Obviously, they just had, imagine them taking the field without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. It's kind of like where we were at.
It was Trey Palmer, who did damage too.
So then, yeah, and then Sterling Shepard, who he's alive. I had no idea. I didn't even know that he was still
alive.
You
know who got him there?
Who?
Baker Mayfield. Give him a call and say, come on, man.
Here's the thing about Baker Mayfield is he's good. Yeah, he's very good. You can get the ball out quick. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league, but he's
looked like it yesterday. Sam Darnold and Jaden Daniels running the show right now.
Dude, it's crazy. It's insane. But the way that they did that, like, that is what I beg for the Eagles to do sometimes. I'm not saying, everything's got to be quick slants inside. Like, sometimes the middle of the field is just not going to be there based on the, what you're lining up against, but there's a point you got to be dictating the terms of engagement instead of just, and that kind of goes back to the defense too. It's like, you guys are getting killed on all these underneath routes. You guys are getting absolutely killed. What are you going to do about it?
Not tackle, clearly.
What are you going to do about
They're not going to tackle.
oh, you're going to whiff with, you're not going to make them think twice about catching that football. No, the only guy out there that I saw hit anybody even remotely hard was N'Kobe Dean. Mm. I didn't know he could hit guys like that.
He also whiffed.
I hadn't seen him do that in an Eagles uniform. He smacked around some guys. Beyond that, and that's like two or three hits, I was just disappointed with the I hate to say effort because I'm sure they're trying, but like they're
it's lack of effort. It's certainly what it looked like yesterday. Is, that's what it is.
It was weak, and I'm sure part of it comes down to our offense can't stay on the fucking field, and we are hot. We had Jalen Carter and who else go to the locker room?
Somebody was throwing up. Carter was throwing up.
I think Blankenship, cramping up.
Blankenship didn't come back in the game from cramps. Yeah, cramps couldn't even come back.
He got white boy wasted. That's crazy.
Yeah, he did. Like, white boy crazy the last week. Now he's white boy wasted.
We're not meant to be outside that long. We're not.
Another part of the offense that failed to click was obviously Lane Johnson. We are now 11-24, I believe, without Lane Johnson in his career. Fred Johnson in his place. Somebody who held up well last week when Johnson came out of the game. But in today's game, or yesterday's game, rather, not the same. He led up 9 of the Eagles' 14 pressures and gave up a sack yesterday in place of Lane Johnson. We already know how important he is, but Fred got tooted and booted yesterday by the Bucs defensive. And I always forget until we play them just how nasty them linebackers are between KJ Britt, and I always forget they have Vita Vea in the middle. Saquon had 2 rushes up the gut, couldn't get in. That Bucs defense is nasty. And shout out Devin White for retweeting. Who did he retweet? Levante David in the middle of the game or something like that? I think Levante David sacked Hurts, and Devin White like retweeted it in the middle of the game. And he was like, "Oh, sorry, I meant to like it." Like, what are we? He didn't even make it. He didn't even travel with the team. But the whole Devin White scenario was a whole nother thing. But yeah, it was always going to be an uphill battle with no Lane Johnson, no Devontae Smith, no AJ Brown. It was supposed to be the Saquon Barkley game. Give him 30 touches. I don't care how you get there. He had 12 total touches yesterday. 12 total touches. Just unacceptable.
What is Kellen Moore doing?
He's scheming up Paris Campbell in the end zone. You got Paris Campbell.
I feel like he's like, obviously, there's Eagles fans that are upset with him, but I feel like we don't talk about that enough. Like, what's going on, man? We had all offseason to instill his offense. It was whatever Jalen said, 80%, 70% new, whatever the case may be. Look, I get it. You're down all these key players, but we brought Kellen Moore here. We thought he was a bright, young offensive mind. I mean, he's done some damage elsewhere, and I mean that in a good way, by the way. Dak Prescott put up his best numbers with them. The Chargers thing last year is tough. I don't really understand that one.
A lot of injuries.
I mean, what are you going to do? Some people get upset with how he utilized their receivers there, but I don't know, man. I don't know. You'd think a guy like that with his resume would find a way to have a better – I'm just saying I have a better game plan going into this. I'm not asking you to go out there and score 40 points with, you know, backup receivers and a banged-up offensive line. But, like, yeah, like you said, to start off 3 straight 3-and-outs is crazy. I mean, you still got talent out there. You still got Jalen. You got Saquon. You got Goddard. There's still, I guess, 2 Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, and Dickerson and Mailata. Like, I don't know, maybe run it that way. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Why don't we don't run it straight at Vita Vea? How about we don't do that?
Yeah, that too. My God.
That was my biggest qualm there. It's like, they have the biggest dude in football, probably. And we're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run it right at him.
And Saquon,
great about the short yardage situations anymore.
How didn't that work?
Run it right.
I thought you squat 600 pounds.
Supposed to push his big ass. Push his big ass to the side.
Dude, Tom Brady was getting excited about some dude. Big dudes getting pushed around on that broadcast.
He was really excited about Mike and Godwin. He was like, "God, I love these guys."
He's like,
and he took a slight at Baker. Took a slight.
That's what really kills Mike. You know, when he can't catch those.
He's like, "Godwin's so big, so physical. He just bounces off."
Catch that 100 times.
All right, practice with him.
We get it. You play football.
Yeah, he did. He seemed to emphasize Godwin a lot. I noticed that.
I guess it's a different excitement when you're watching players you played with us.
Yeah.
He called out Jalen, though. I thought his criticisms of Jalen were valid. Do you guys agree with what he was saying?
Yeah,
was,
but that was the next
any
point.
Criticism of Jalen Hurts is valid at this point. I feel
we're
like
we're gonna might as well segue to that way. That was the way we were going next. The other common denominator between the struggles of last season and this season is Jalen Hurts, who has become somewhat of a turnover machine. Well, not somewhat, he is one now. He is a flat out turnover machine these days. In 2022, he had 8 turnovers total since the beginning of last season. He has now had 27. Between this season and last season, that is most in the NFL. That's more than Daniel Jones. It's more than Will Levis, who plays with butter on his hands. That's more than every other quarterback in the league.
That's since the start of
2023. 27 turnovers since the start of last season. Most
we're barely into this year. He has 27
since the start of last year. Yeah,
He almost lost two.
He threw like 15 picks last year.
I know.
And he's already thrown, what, 5-6 this year? Lost like
four.
Three fumbles?
Four.
He's thrown four and lost how many fumbles? Three? Four? He's losing one a week at this
almost
rate.
Lost so two.
Almost lost two. Like, he has to have – I'll save my spiel for the end of it. Steven, we'll start with you. Your assessment so far on Jalen Hurts and his turnover woes in 2023.
I don't want to spend too much time
or
on
I guess
the turnovers
in 2023
because it's
and
obvious. And,
why not?
Yeah.
It's the biggest
problem. No, it's not. Everybody's saying that. Well, it might be.
You can't win games when you lose the turnover margin. You cannot win games.
The ball, it is a bit of
I got pissed at him from the jump,
margin.
Though, man.
They've had a negative turnover margin in every single game this season.
Like,
this
he turned it over at a terrible time in this game. Yes, the turnovers are a problem, but we all know this. Like, he's got to clean it up. I don't have the solution for you other than he's got to clean it up, but I have more issues with the other stuff that you saw in this game. His turnover in this game obviously came at a terrible time. The team had some momentum, but, I mean, come on. They fell behind so quickly, and he's part of the blame for that. He missed a lot of throws in the first half. He's doing the complete opposite in the pocket now. It felt like earlier in this year, two games ago, he was fleeing, just like running right. He was doing the stuff he was doing his rookie year. Now it's almost like he's just staying there too long, and he's not even like aware of defenders closing in on him now. So it's like two evils. Like, we got to find a balance here, trying to get in the middle. Like, we still want you to go out there and escape, make some plays, but at the same time, like, hang in there and deliver the ball. Step up. Feel the pocket. Feel the pressure. Like, the guy who
his pocket
him,
awareness is my biggest thing. His pocket.
He made
awareness
the guy miss initially from just kind of stepping up, sliding, whatever he did there, and the guy still recovered and knocked the ball out.
You gotta feel the guy. I mean, pause. But you gotta feel the guy coming in the pocket. Okay.
Well, and you know what? Whoa. We can sit here. And, whoa.
You gotta answer. You gotta feel that essentially, like, it happened.
Come on,
last
though.
Week.
Like, let's go.
Last,
like,
week, last week in the Saints game, he's running away from a guy, and the guy just pokes it out of his hand. And then yesterday, he's about to bomb it deep, and the guy just again picks it out of his hand. He's not even anticipating the guys in the pocket anymore. You have to have better anticipation in the pocket than that.
What's the other problem here, though? I agree with that, but what is he not doing? He's not getting rid of the ball.
Yes, there you go.
Like, are you guys not seeing this?
No, I agree. But he's also trying to make plays, so he's gonna hold on to that ball as long as possible.
Stop trying to make plays, just let it rip. Like, I can sit here and blame the game plan and Kellen Moore's offense. Maybe I don't know. I gotta look at the all 52 or whatever the hell it's called. The Sky Cam, all 22, whatever, man.
Jesus Christ.
But all, get it out. 50, there's I'm 52. Sure there's checkdowns built into it. There's gotta be something there. You gotta get the ball out quick. Like, you just have to. I don't care. Like, just get it out. I don't care if it's a 3-yard gain.
Yeah. You gotta simplify the offense.
Once you've got your best lineman out, like, I get it. Like, you know how to make plays. You can make plays. He's enough of an athlete where he can do it. But there is a point where it's like, it's not about you anymore, bro. It's not about whether or not you can do it. It's whether or not you should. And obviously there is a point you got to play hero ball. You're down 3 touchdowns. I get it. But there were some sacks yesterday where it's like, okay, well, not only are we not going to get a first down now, but you've just completely, you've essentially given them a short field by getting sacked twice in a row and going back to, like, what we see, like, 3rd and 30-something?
Oh, 3rd and 29.
That was insane. That was insane. So with that, with the turnovers, with just the – and I'll give them some credit. Obviously, in the passing game, it's hard. It's hard when you've got one guy that can feasibly catch a football. And then you're throwing your only touchdown pass to Paris Campbell. Like, great for Paris Campbell.
He was here all training camp. He was here all training camp.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. But it's just more so like, these aren't the guys he's used to throwing to. Granted, if I would feel the same way if I'm used to throwing to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. What are they, 2 top 10, top 15 wide receivers in the NFL?
Yeah. They're responsible for 62% of the Eagles' offense dating back to last season.
Yeah, exactly. So is that kind of a bad thing a little bit? Yes. But when they're not in the game, obviously this is what happens. But you take any team's best players away, odds are they're not going to be as good. So I'll give them a little bit of credit. I mean, the fumbles and everything, it's just like, even that one in New Orleans is like, what was that?
Yeah, that was a rough one. That was even more worse than that was more egregious than the one yesterday. For running, just got poked from behind.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So that was bad too. And there was multiple times the Eagles like could have got themselves back in it, down 24-7. You get the ball back after halftime. They got the ball They got the ball with a minute 19. Get some points before half. Go into the locker room feeling somewhat good about yourself. Come out, score. But what do? Three and out again. Punt it right back. And the Bucks get the ball back. And then even after halftime, they scored 24-14. Play defense, get the ball back. What happens? Buccaneers score again, 30-14. But then what happens? The blocked PAT. Isaiah Rodgers blocks it. Kelee Ringo returns it, 30-16. You still have a chance to get in this game. And they could just never get into a rhythm. And it's tough when you put yourself in that big of a hole, and the turnovers are a lot to do with it. Hurts has to be better at ball security. Hurts has to be better at pocket awareness. That's my biggest thing with him right now is pocket awareness. And to your point, Steven, getting rid of the football. Live to see another down. He didn't chuck. Did he throw a pick yesterday? I don't remember.
Damn near. So. Damn near.
Damn near. He was close. I remember it was close. Yeah, but you have to be better. We love the playmaking. We love the upside of it, but it's getting to the point now where like you gotta give your guys a chance. And I think another issue, and it sounds like we're picking on Hurts, but this is a situation that was prominent yesterday. I think that Hurts has historically never like looked at the third receiver. So like without AJ and without Devontae,
yeah, like that's a problem, man. I'm so sick of hearing about the lack of chemistry, though. You know what I mean?
People are claiming like, oh, the Eagles got fleeced by Washington for Dotson. He's not even looking at him. We don't know like how good Dotson is because Hurts isn't even looking at him. And people are throwing me these advanced metrics of Dotson being like 169th in the league in separation or something like that. Like if you give him the ball, I'm sure something can happen. But Hurts doesn't even look his way. He doesn't even look at him. This was like when Goddard was out last year and they weren't even looking at Stahl and Calcaterra, rightfully so. And he had to force that throw to Paris Campbell. He wanted to do it all himself. I think that without AJ and Devontae Smith, Hurts' shortcomings, and you could say this about any quarterback who loses their top pass catchers, but even more so, it magnifies Hurts' shortcomings as a passer. And I think even more so now when they don't have him, Hurts has to be more careful with the football, and that has not happened to this point.
You know, it's been nice though. The one bright side has been he has been, I don't want to say forcing, but like emphasizing Goddard's been nice, because let's be honest, there's been times over the last season and four games into this one, quarter in a season, whatever, where Goddard's like a complete afterthought, you know? So yeah, the third guy in line. Forget third wide receiver. Sometimes just the third guy on the totem pole is just like an afterthought. Hurts isn't looking his way, whatever the case may be. And it's really frustrating when the offense stalls, because it's like, is this guy just not getting to his like second or third reads in the play? Like, what's he doing here?
It's tougher to figure out to pinpoint what exactly it is. Like we said, you knew it was going to be an uphill battle, but without Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, it was going to be it certainly wasn't going to be easy. One guy I do want to talk, we'll say something positive. Quinyon Mitchell had another good showing today, matched up on Mike Evans for a lot of the day. Now, obviously,
he's the best player on the defense.
Got the better of him on another route.
Is that crazy?
I mean, thank God we hit on a pick. Thank God we hit on a corner. He seems to do everything you want. I don't have any complaints about how he's hitting, tackling people, because that's the weakness of the secondary, too, aside from the scheme, which I kind of touched on earlier, guys. I think that's the problem, and teams realize it. Maddox is a liability at this point, as we know. He just doesn't have it anymore.
It's time for Cooper to take over the nickel. It's time for Cooper to play.
He's a poor tackler. And you know who else is? Darius Slay. Slay is a poor tackler. You know it's true.
Before we get to Slay and whatever you have to say about him.
Oh, come on.
For Quinyon. Because I know Steven's. No, I'm not going to protect him. I'm going to let you say without interruption, without whatever.
You just
I
did.
I don't want to brush over Quinyon and what he did.
I don't either, man. He's projecting to be a. He's great. He's actually surpassed
my expectations. Fantastic. On Mike Evans yesterday via PFF, for those that put stock into those stats, those guys. Four targets while he was covering Mike Evans. Two catches allowed, 19 yards allowed. Had one pass breakup. And he was the only player to play all 77 of the snaps yesterday in that heat. The only player on defense, he played all 77. Don't take me out, coach. I'm sweating.
Because he's a dog.
Because he's a freaking
Quinyon's
dog.
Quinyon's a dog.
Three players I respect on defense right now. Quinyon Mitchell, Brandon Graham, Jalen Carter. Three players I respect on that D-line. Jordan Davis sometimes.
I keep that listed too.
Damn.
You stop at what? Who'd you take off?
I'm still waiting on Jalen Carter. He had
what
a good
are you waiting
game.
For?
Yeah, he had a good game against the Saints.
Saints game didn't do it for you.
I need to see it consistently. I need a little more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had one great game. Yeah, dude. Tack McKinley had seven sacks against the Dallas Cowboys 4 years ago. Where is he? You. Like,
I got you. I got you. Conway, any final points on Quinyon before Steven any just final drags points on Quin- Darius?
No,
I'm he's looking at him. He can't wait. This man giddy over here.
I'm going to keep glazing him, dude. This guy, he's an animal. Like, yeah. It is nice to have someone with some grit in the secondary because we don't have that outside. I mean, CJ Gardner-Johnson a couple years ago did. I don't know what he – I think he's got marbles in his brain now. I don't really know what's happening. Either way, he's playing with some great energy, but I just don't always see it translate into on-field production outside of a couple flashy plays.
Hey, he nailed Bijan in the
he did. That was sick. And then he proceeded to go full Sirianni for about 5 minutes on the sideline, just like flexing. I'm like, all right, nice. Yeah. Good job. But beyond that, yeah, dude, Quinyon is he's the lunch pail kind of guy. Like, he's gonna go out there, he's gonna jaw a little bit for sure, but he's gonna, you know, he's gonna get back and he's gonna there's no plays off with that kid. So
you know what he's not gonna do?
What?
Tweet his career stats after a blowout loss. Certainly.
Dude, what are we doing with that?
That's
what?
Bad luck. That's a bad luck. I that think people are like, kind of rough on Slay, but that was a bad look.
You know what? Like no, Vic, I warned you about this last year. I brought this up like the first time you did it last year, and you like you were sweating bullets on this podcast because you're like, I don't know where he's going with this. You're like, is this guy going to get me canceled on Twitter because Slay is always on Twitter? I don't care if Slay sees this. You know what? Darius Slay's a bitch. Simple. He is.
Whoa.
No, he is. Maybe at one point in his career he wasn't, but now he is. And he's a captain, apparently. It's a bad look. And I get it. He has the resume and everything like that. Like, obviously, Quinyon's not going to do that. He's trying to prove himself in this league. But maybe it's a sign. Maybe it's a sign that, I mean, look, we got to just play this thing out this year. But moving forward, I wouldn't mind if Slay is not on this team. I would rather just draft another young corner, a young, hungry guy that's not going to be on Twitter, not going to be a distraction to the team, not going to give off this, like, soft energy, this, like, victim defensive energy that he gives off, because that's what he does. He's a captain, and I can't recall any other captains on this team doing it. Slay should, for one, look himself in the mirror, but two, look at his peers. Brandon Graham's an older guy, established multiple Pro Bowls, Super Bowl champion. You don't see him making those excuses, and that's what it is. It's excuses. Nobody wants to see that.
Part of it is that Brandon Graham is actually contributing to this team on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, he so and he Slay has no pressure on the team. Slay's got talent, though.
Obviously, he's big play Slay, but yeah, dude, it's like.
It's been a few years since he's made a big
play.
This
is what brings me back to the coach as well, though, is like that doesn't happen. I hate to use like the Belichick New England analogy.
You know what, though? We've gotten to that point. We've gotten to that point, though. You know what? Yeah, you know what? Foreshadowing. You know what? We might have to now.
Yeah. But no, it's stuff like that where if the locker room is really that together, probably doesn't happen.
Yeah, like, how is there not one Eagles player that's like, I got to say something to Slay? Like, come on, man.
I'm sure somebody has.
I need Quinyon to do it because
behind closed doors, Slay is, like, well-respected and been in the league for a while. And plays the game the right way, doesn't ruffle
he's
any
a good
feathers.
Dude.
And he's a good, genuinely good person. It's just that getting on Twitter after a blowout loss when you should be, like, trying to fix things with your teammates and all this, and you run to Twitter and tweet your career stats. That's not a good look.
Well, that's the other thing. Just think
horrible
like,
for optics.
He's doing this now.
And today he was what? Giggling with Micah Parsons on the podcast about CJ?
Dude.
This is bad.
Well, that's the other thing. Just wait. Like I said, if I foreshadowed Slay's departure after this year, he's saying all this stuff now. Imagine all the podcasting he's going to be doing after this year if he's off the team. All the stuff he's going to say, the stuff he's going to air out. I guarantee it. He's gonna blame like Fangio. He's going to say this that. I guarantee you it's going to happen.
Well, the Fangio scheme is literally and figuratively soft. Like keep everything in front of you. Don't get beat over the top. And as long as you don't do that, you can just dink and dunk your way down the field.
I don't know what everybody expected this year, defense-wise. It's like we've been running Diet Fangio for the last decade.
Now we got the real thing.
And now we got the real thing, and they're like, why isn't it different? I'm like, because they're copying him.
Yeah.
And then, but then also, too, it comes down to the personnel. Like, Bryce Huff, what the hell is going on
Shout
with that?
Shout out to us for getting 46 minutes without bringing him up.
So. Every defensive acquisition that we made outside of the draft this year, that we were excited about has done absolutely nothing. So I don't know if that's a Howie problem.
Is that Huff and Devin White, pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how hype I was about Sweat that. I was pretty stoked. That
was Sweat like was here.
He's not a new acquisition.
He was here, but they gave him like a 10-minute like they gave him like a $10 million like bonus to stay with the team, and then he'll be a free agent next year. Or signing, but they did something weird with this
contract.
They
did something to keep him.
They gave him like $10 million guaranteed, stay with us, figure it out next year.
I liked, but he can't be.
I liked it till he switched to number 19. Yeah, then I was off. I was off the train. Get me out of here.
Mega Whiteside.
Oh, man. Shit,
yeah. I don't understand what makes you even switch to that number, bro. Like, that
I don't
is,
know.
That is, 94 Sweat was a menace.
I want to know what the hell's going on with Bryce Huff. Like, is he, we're playing him an outside linebacker. Is he even supposed to be there? Like, does he even want to be there?
He needs to be He needs to be in like 3-point stance, getting off the edge.
Go hit the fucking quarterback, right? Yeah, like that's what we got him for. We got him to essentially replace Hassan Reddick in a way, who saw way too many coverage snaps last year as well. Yeah. But that's besides the point. I just don't know what we're doing. You rely on your front four.
Can't run defend.
Yeah,
I would have took last year's version of Bryce Huff for the money. Like at this point, just give me last year's rotation.
That's why we signed him.
Conley, I thought we were getting that guy. No, we're getting the 3-down version of Bryce Huff is what we're getting.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's
like
whatever
that.
This is.
No, it's like you rely on your front four to go and get stuff done, and they just don't. We just don't have. We need a game breaker on the edge, and I know every team needs that, but especially if you're going to be running this type of scheme. You need to be able to get after the quarterback. Yeah. And if you're not going to blitz, then you need better than what you've got right now. I don't know if there's probably not the year to go and trade to get somebody, all things considered, if we are really going to be this bad.
I mean,
it might be something
the,
you look
the
for
history
in the draft,
there
but...
isn't great for edge rushers that were acquired at the deadline. Like Robert Quinn, who else was there?
Well,
Denard Avery.
Nobody...
Edge rushers acquired at the deadline aren't too great.
Oh, dude, Jannard Avery, holy crap.
I remember somebody tweeted, was like, yo, the Eagles are about to make a blockbuster move, and it was Jannard Avery.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump off to Walt Whitman. It was horrible, but I would have took last year's version of Bryce Huff for this, but not for nothing. Yesterday, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, each had a sack. That is the first sacks by edge rushers this year. Took 4 weeks for an edge rusher to get a sack. So
that's insane. It should not be legal.
We take those. And for the since you brought up Hassan Reddick, we found out today, Ian Rappaport reported that the Eagles are unable to acquire Hassan Reddick. Once traded from a team, you can't be traded back to that team for at least 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no shit. Otherwise, people would just be
swapping back and forth. It sounded far-fetched when like it was first getting pitched, and I was like, is that legal?
Now, if they cut him.
You can sign him. If they cut him.
Then we can sign
him. Like, if we call the Jets, we're like, yo, we'll, like, slip you a little fifth rounder under the table if you cut Hassan Reddick
now. Dude, we could make something. We could do a backroom deal. But
is Hassan Reddick even, like, football shape right now? He hasn't been with the team since his press conference.
Wasn't he, like, fucking around in Tokyo? Or did I make that up?
Yeah, that was some samurai bullshit he was doing. I don't know.
You know, we're forgetting Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith was supposed to be this, like, great steal of a draft pick. I think we used a late first on him. And, like, what's up with him, man?
I think I might be bigger than Nolan Smith. I think I might be bigger than Nolan, and I'm not that big.
You are. You're
I'm a decently sized guy.
That's the other thing.
Guy.
Like, is Fangio not using these guys correctly? Because they're clearly strictly speed rushers, him and Bryce Huff. And I don't know. I see them getting bitched out there.
Yeah,
they do get bitched pretty consistently.
They do get pretty bitched. It's not
Smith's good sometimes on cleanup duty. He comes around, gets the ball carrier, gets all excited.
Smith is
like
really
that.
Good when he's unblocked. Like nobody's.
He's great when he's unblocked, dude. He might be the best.
Oh, man.
He might be the best unblocked.
Hey, Bryce Huff apparently was that last year. By the way, I thought I saw a stat somewhere where like a majority of, what did he have, 7 sacks, 10 sacks? A majority of those were.
7 of them were against reserve offensive linemen.
Oh, man.
And like half of those were like cleanup duty. Like he swarmed in after somebody already hit him.
So we're in the cycle of the Howie verse where we hate him, I think, is where I'm at now. And we're not quite there. I'm not quite calling for his job I was.
He's lucky the Quinyon pick looks great.
Yeah, Quinyon
pick looks great.
I mean,
great.
He had no business falling that far. Like, I was talking to Lucci earlier, and I was like, I remember seeing this dude at the Senior Bowl, and I couldn't fathom he would fall that far. And the fact that he's here is crazy.
I still can't believe we went 2 corners back-to-back.
I know. That's the other – thank you.
One of them's getting wrecked in special teams.
Why isn't Dejean playing? That's the other thing. It ties into
Maddox. I have a feeling he might be. He might be after the bye week. I think they're going to see that Avante tape and be like,
Conway today, you know, this is bad mojo I'm putting out there.
Don't say it.
he's always hurt. His whole tenure here, Maddox's always been hurt. And like the one time it's like his backup, we want him out there so bad, and Maddox is healthy. This guy can play in 200 degree weather now. It doesn't matter. Maddox is out there. He's fine.
He's an Iron Man, dude. He's not missing a snap.
We're out here saying like, oh, if he gets hurt, wouldn't be the worst thing in the
world. His feelings aren't hurt.
Swap, dude. Dude, get Maddox back there taking back punts. Yeah. Fuck it. It's not like they,
I think it'll be better when Fangio gets Sidney Brown back. That's a nice piece you can move around.
Oh, yeah. And he'll know how to use him. He knows how to use a lot of guys on this defense.
So, question. Does DeGene make that tackle on Godwin that Avante flat out missed? Does DeGene make that tackle?
I mean, it's a better effort. I promise you that.
That is for
he
sure.
Makes he makes contact.
More. He must he make contact.
Makes contact. I don't know if he brings him down.
Whether he gets Godwin's bounced off shifty. On or not is another.
This is like just like jumping head first with his eyes straight into the turf.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's
doing?
Quote unquote not wrapping up. I'm gonna close my eyes and just pray that I
Slade does that shit too.
Up.
That's what I was trying to say earlier. And yeah, CJ a little. Well, CJ, I don't even know. Don't get me started.
It's a lot, but this is a very negative thing, obviously. But look, it's not the worst thing in the world. 2-2 into the bye week with the injuries that we have. I remember at one point. I was like, when the initial schedule released, I was like, I hate this bye week. This is so early. What do you need an early bye week for? The Eagles couldn't have come at a better time for the Eagles to get AJ back, get Devontae back. Lane was really close to playing, didn't clear protocol. He'll play against Cleveland after the bye week. Let's get back on track. Jalen, for the love of God, hold on to the football, make better decisions. It's hard to evaluate Jalen sometimes because in between the turnovers, he plays like phenomenally, but then he has the boneheaded turnovers.
Yeah.
We're like, well, how can you grade him? Like, how do you grade this performance? I don't understand.
No, yeah, it's like you did all this great work to get us down the field, and then
the end zone interceptions kill me.
10 yards away from your nearest receiver.
Kill me. Like, that's Ron Matthew one. You can blame Smitty, whatever the case is, but these end zone picks are killer.
No,
drive
dude,
killers.
You can't throw picks in the red zone. You just
bad.
Can't do it.
It's bad.
You just can't do it.
It's bad.
Right as we're lining up on that play where he fumbled, I swear there's a voice in my head saying there's a turnover coming. And
oh, I told everybody. I had a couple of buddies over for the game. I was like, who's excited to watch Jalen Hurts either throw a pick or fumble on this play? Yeah. And then guess what happened two plays later?
It's getting to the point where you're just hoping, like, just please don't turn the ball over. Like, especially when they gain momentum and they're, like, getting down the field and you're like, please don't throw a pick. Like,
this is what sucks, dude, is there are quarterbacks in the NFL where when they throw the ball, you get like excited. You're like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? And then there are other guys who, when they throw the ball, you go, oh shit, what are we doing? Jalen Hurts is migrating towards that latter camp there. It used to be when he would let one rip 2022, early part of 2023, I was like, oh God, this is going to be a dot. And it more often than not was. Now he's throwing the ball, especially in the opponent's side of the field, I'm like, oh, that's a pick.
You know what?
That's 10 yards over everybody. That's the best case.
I figured it out. We all got all excited in training camp because he like broke the training camp streak for not throwing interceptions. Come on. It was all over Twitter.
Yeah, but neither of us, even you and I did not.
But I was like, that's a good sign of Kellen Moore's offense. You know, they're getting guys open. Maybe that's like.
I didn't read a single training camp related tweet.
I figured it out, though. You want to know why it happened? Because he's lining up against Fangio's soft defense in training camp. He probably, like, Baker just threw for almost 400 yards against that.
I'm sick of Baker, man. I'm sick of Baker. I'm sick of the Bucks.
I love Baker, man.
I need to compile.
I don't mind
the last
Baker.
Two.
I actually
I need
think
to
he's
yeah, I know you fucks like Baker. Remember that time we were in the Poconos? You guys were slobbering over Baker on whatever team he was on.
Dude, he's a beast.
I need to compile Baker's last two games. Yeah, he was still Cleveland. I'm going to compile his last two games. Like, that has to be the greatest QB performance of all time with those two games combined.
Baker Mayfield.
It's crazy. But you get Deshaun Watson after the bye. The Browns stink. Nick Chubb is practicing this week, it sounds like. So we'll see if he's back for that game. But 2-2 could be in worse situations, could be in better situations. We'll get back up here at some point during the week and, of course, the next week to do some more checks on what the hell is going on with the Eagles and potential trade deadline moves as that looms closer and any other news and rumors and tidbits that may come along. Steven, any final words on this team before we put a bow on this one?
Well,
this is probably the most negative pod we've done in a while.
I mean, obviously.
Good.
Obviously. There was no better time now for the bye week.
Saquon has been amazing, I will say. Saquon's been as advertised.
Yeah, I mean, he's been better than I thought, actually. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to be nervous as shit for that Browns game because there has to be, like, if this is a big picture thing, obviously, like, you know, we try to take it game by game, but, like, if this season is going to be a good one by our expectations, like, there needs to be signs starting in that Browns game. I'm sorry. This is what the bye week is for. You got four games now to test out these new schemes. Well, one new scheme, we should say. As we've been running the, as Conway said, we've been running the Diet Fangio defense for this last decade.
That's a good way to put it.
Guys are going to get healthy. I don't know who's all going to be back, but I feel pretty good about it, I'd imagine, right? I'd imagine some notable names on offense will be back, hopefully all of them. And, yeah, I mean, it has to appear in that game, and the streak of not scoring in the first quarter has to end. If they go the first quarter after the bye week without scoring, man, that might be it for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might play in traffic.
Yeah, getting outscored 200-0 in the first quarter this season is not a recipe for – you can't be put in a hole like that. And it's even worse when your weapons are not – like your pass catchers aren't healthy. You have to lean on your running back, but now the running game is out the window because you're down three scores in the first quarter.
Saquon's going to have fresh legs, by the way.
Like, yeah, he will.
Come on.
But they should have used him in the pass game. He had two receptions yesterday. Like, if you have to use him in all
first play of the game, just, damn near was should have been a touchdown. I don't know what the hell Jalen was doing there, but
it's a rough go. Conway, your final thoughts before we get up out of here. Good job on your first show.
Probably thank you.
Wish it was a little lighter spirited, but
yeah.
Like, no, as you look back on it, you're like, fuck, man, this was a very bad.
Here's the thing: I thrive in the negativity. It's something you that you'll learn about me. If you don't know this already, those tuning in. But I was initially pretty pissed we had an early bye week. I was like, oh man, this is going to kill all of our great momentum that we opened the season with. This is going to completely derail our season. Now this bye week might be the greatest thing to ever happen to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Might save the season.
Literally this bye week might save the season. We get a week to get everybody back healthy. Get a week for everybody to surgically remove their heads from their asses and remember how to play a little bit of football and maybe grow a pair of balls or two, you know, in the locker room as well.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to the bye week. I'm going to get drunk on the golf course with my friends and not think about the Eagles for a week.
Golf?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Dude, I played Division III golf.
Yeah,
for 2 years.
He actually does. He showed me.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, I was actually stunned.
They
when
have
I
Division
saw
III
it.
Golf.
Yeah, they
like
do.
Organized.
Colby College Minnows, dude. NESCAC, get fucked.
Yeah, I'll see you on the pickleball court,
dude. I'll never get on the pickleball court. I'll play tennis. I'll play tennis any day.
All
the
tennis courts are getting turned to pickleball, man. Y'all think we'll be tennis for much longer?
Yeah, dude. That's because communism sweeping the nation.
Yeah, it is.
We gotta fight back.
The nation. Appreciate you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Philly Pod. Sorry, it's been a few weeks, but we had to get some things ironed out. We're now late night boys. Straight up in the first morning after 8 hours of work getting on here, after work burned us out to talk about the damn Eagles. They stared at each other's handsome faces. Be sure to subscribe. I have a lot to in Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those 5 stars, rate reviews. I need to see one this week. If I don't see one, Conway is unemployed. As
They're
far as the pod is concerned. As far as the pod is concerned. I mean, he might be still employed through his other job. Maybe. Depends.
Probably not.
Probably after the way. Probably not. Oh my God! Follow Steven on all social media platforms. Steven Conrad Jr. Conway. What is your Twitter?
Ryan Conway 76.
That was Conway West. Is that not a thing?
Conway West is my Instagram.
Sorry. Yeah.
If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, so I got some cute pics up.
Oh, that's a good follow. His IG follow is actually
West
a good
underscore.
Follow. You're gonna see a lot of us on there, actually.
Oh yeah, for real.
Oh yeah, especially on the stories from New Orleans. Very good trip. God, amazing.
Great.
Boo damn balls.
I know.
Fantastic time. I could eat like four of them things right now.
Brother, you stick with me. You're going to be eating good. I don't care where you go.
And we ended up at the Bourbon House by accident.
I'll just test you right now because I've been thinking about making a trip planned outside of the partners of the Liberty Line. What's the deal in Baltimore?
Baltimore?
Yeah.
I go barbecue.
They do not. No, I'm kidding. See, I don't concern myself.
Is that the crab cake or is that Maryland? Maryland, right? Crab cakes.
Baltimore.
I guess you're right.
You get some crab cakes down there. I'd probably say lean seafood. You get some lake trout, which is not from a lake, nor is it trout, but you can get some. I learned about that from The Wire. I don't really concern myself with third-tier cities in that way.
Baltimore's third-tier.
What?
Baltimore's a third-tier city.
Baltimore's a third-tier city.
What's Philadelphia considered?
Like a 2.5.
Good. good to know.
No, dude, Philadelphia is a tier. I mean, realistically, it's a tier two city,
what's
but it's
New
a tier
Orleans,
one city.
Bourbon Street.
New Orleans
strictly.
Is
Bourbon Street,
well, that's different. That's different because it's got that Cajun seasoning.
Oh, the streets are Cajun seasons, all right.
Dog, what the fuck was that place? I'm still sick.
Man. Yeah,
even back a week.
I just
part of my soul still in the swamp with those gators. To be honest,
I don't think all of me came back. Honestly, I think part of me is down there somewhere. The way I'm just like, today's the first day I felt 100% in a while. Mm. So yeah, fun time though overall.
Great time.
Love New Orleans. We'll definitely go back maybe someday. You know what? The best place, Steven, that we've been to, even of all the trips we've done, and it's actually a trip that, again, wasn't with the company, Nashville. The minute they have a Tennessee Titans away game, I don't care who's the QB for the Titans.
My God, that'll be the best fans of Philly trip. Can you imagine?
That would be the best fans trip.
Yo.
Kansas City was fun, right, Conway? We had a good time in Kansas City.
I had a great time in Kansas City.
Mainly because only me and you made the flight. So.
Yeah, that first day, just you and me chilling. With Dumphy,
I got to the gate and Conway's just like looking around, like, please somebody show up. I'm not trying to get on this flight by myself.
I
never seen such relief
do.
In a man's eyes until I showed up.
I was looking up things to do alone in Kansas City. I was going to go to an art museum.
Wow.
Yeah, that is true. You're the kind of man that can entertain yourself.
Yeah, but that's
no,
true.
You got no
man.
Problems being by yourself. No problems.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth? We'll catch you guys on a later episode of the Philly Pod as we embark on the bye week and try to figure out if we should continue to be fans of this team or not. Go Sixers.
Whoa,
subscribe.
We forgot.
Subscribe.
I wish you all leave reviews. A very red October. What do you mean? It's perfect.
Yeah.
The bye
week
came.
When's the first playoff game? When's the first playoff game?
Oh, it's Saturday.
For the Phillies?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Awaiting
dude,
the
you guys
opponent.
Are ready
the Braves damn
camp.
Near fucked themselves today. Almost. So close to not making the playoffs. Like, fucking around
I
that first
use
game.
This. I could use so this. I've kind of taken a break from the Phillies. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get to a game this week. See what's going on. Catch you on the next one, y'all. Till then, peace out from the Philly Pod.